You're listening to the Becoming a Great Dad podcast. I'm your host, Chris Bodie, where we help dads go from being good to great, to great fathers, great dads, great mentors, all the above. So, hope everybody has been doing good. We are in February. I know a lot of places, especially down here, it's real cold, real chilly. Hope people are still keeping safe from not only COVID, but the weather. You know, hope you're getting to spend time with your family, dads, you can spend time with your kids, and enjoying this nice inside time that we're all having. So, let's jump right into the episode today. I got a real fancy title and I want to break it down for us. Today we're going to talk about how to establish a culture of continuous learning in your household. A lot of my favorite words like culture and continuous and learning. But basically, we're going to talk about how as fathers, you can be a mentor, a guide, an instructor, a teacher for your children, and how you can foster a household where that kind of learning environment is continuous, meaning that happens all the time year round. So part of our, I guess, jobs as dads, and I talked about this in the very first episode. If you heard, I talked about the five skills that all dads need. If you haven't heard it, go and listen to it. That's actually my number one and highest rated podcast. I was surprised that the first one is the highest rated and I guess the best listened one. But that podcast talks about the five skills every dad should have. And one of them is the skill to be a preparer, or another word that we might know is teacher. You know, we not only have to be a mentor and be a guide, but we must teach our children, you know. And most of us already teach indirectly, you know, like, for example, how your kids eat at the dinner table is a reflection of what they've learned from you as a dad, kind of indirectly. You know, for example, how they sit, how they drink, if their elbows are on the table, if they slurp their soup, if they kind of twirl the spaghetti around the fork. That's an example of what I call indirect learning. Now, I'm sure there are some teacher or a scholarly person that can tell me like the actual phrase of that, but I kind of break it down into indirect learning, stuff that your kids kind of pick up on that you like don't actually sit down and say, hey, let me teach you this. They just learn through osmosis. They learn from watching you. But then there's a second thing called direct learning. And this is similar to how we learn in school. And this is a little more more structured, okay, where you have a person, you know, who plays the role of, let's say, teacher or instructor. There's some kind of information that has to be passed along, and it's the student's job to pay attention. They not only have to pay attention, but they have to retain the information and also master it by using it in some kind of practical application way. You know, that's kind of how we think about school, right? It's more of a direct structured learning. And as dads, sometimes, you know, we fail to realize that, you know, we too, as men, must participate in that kind of style of direct learning. You know, there's a ton of valuable life skills that we need to pass down to our kids and teach them before they leave the house. And they get out into the real world. And sadly, you know, a lot of times, you know, we teach them indirectly, or they learn stuff indirectly. Like, they learn the most important things from us through this kind of indirect learning style. Don't believe me? Well, I'm going to give you an example, okay? I'm going to ask you three questions. And I want you to kind of think about, you know, how you learn these things. And if you learn them indirectly, you know, meaning by watching someone else do it, right? Or directly, meaning like someone actually set you down and said, hey, son, hey, daughter, let me teach you about this. All right. Now, for this exercise, I kind of want to bring you back to your childhood. And, you know, and this could be when, you know, you were a young kid, maybe, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, or maybe your teenage years, right? Whenever you kind of learn these items. But bring yourself back to that time, okay? And then I want you to also kind of bring in your mind, you know, whether it's your mom, your dad, your guardians, whoever the folks who raised you, right? I'm going to ask you three kind of key things, and I want you to think about how you learned them. The first question is, how did you learn about money and finances? The second one is, how did you learn about relationships with people or the opposite sex? Or how did you learn about, let's say, character development, you know, things like integrity and honesty and trust? Now, ponder on that for a minute, and I'll tell you, you know, my own personal experience. I can say that, you know, from the majority of these things, money, relationships, and character development, I honestly learned them from my parents indirectly. You know, on the money thing, you know, my mom and dad didn't sit me down and say, Chris, let's talk about finances and how to budget and how that works, right? I just kind of watched how they did things. And some of it helped, but some of it I really had to figure out on my own. The same thing with relationships. Now, what's funny about that, my mom, she was a social worker, retired now, and she actually gave me the birds and bees conversation super early. And I say early, like when I was maybe like 7, right? And at the time, I was still confused, like, so wait a minute, so who do what to what? Like, but that was a conversation she had with me that was all of maybe 30 minutes. And there was a book that she bought that I read that talked about, you know, like what a man and woman, like that. But still, like, that's a truly important part of relationships that I kind of learned a little bit directly, but most indirectly. And then also character development. You know, things like integrity, I learned from the military, and that was actually more of, you know, that was kind of half and half direct and probably half indirect. Things like honesty and trust, I learned that indirectly, but indirectly through failure, you know. But these three items, I use those just as examples to show you, like, these are things that are, you know, really important to someone's development when they are coming up. And while there are some things that, yes, we can learn indirectly, we as dads want to make sure that, again, we create a culture of continuous teaching and continuous learning within the household, right? We have to set the expectation that, hey, there's some things that I'm going to have to say, hey, son, hey, daughter, I need you to kind of sit down because I have something important to teach you. Now, why as parents or why as dads, why don't we do this, right? You know, why don't we sit our kids down more, whether it be in their rooms, at the dinner tables, and really talk to them and teach them about these life stuff? And I mean, look, y'all, look, I get it, right? We have 4 children, 2 boys, 2 girls. I get it, right? Here's the short list that I came up with. And these are things that I've heard from other dads, or just I thought myself of, like, hey, like, why I don't, you know, really sit down and teach my kids things, or why I'm not more proactive in kind of setting the tone. Number one, I'm tired. You know, we go to work, we come home from work. As men, we're tired. With a caveat, you know, we're not tired to play the game a lot of times, but we may be tired to do adulting, right? The second thing, you know, some people say, well, look, Chris, teaching is not really my thing. Like, I'm not a good teacher. I don't know how to, like, sit somebody down and teach them about you know, something like finances, like my kid is 14, they're into video games. They don't want to learn about that. The other thing is, you know, I've heard some people say that, you know, that's the job of the woman. That's the mom. You know, that's her job to be the teacher in the family. You know, my job is to kind of be more of the protector and provider. You know, I've also heard that, look, my kid, they just won't pay attention. They're not into, like, if I told you, hey, like, sit your kid down and, I don't know, teach them about integrity, that's like a boring topic to a kid. They're going to be like, okay, Dad, I get it. Like, I need to make sure that I'm, you know, trustworthy and honest. And then some people say, you know, I don't even know what to teach them about. Like, what else in life do I need to be showing them? And look, I get it. These, you know, these things I listed, these are definitely some legitimate barriers. Or sometimes there's just fears that we as dads have. I know the number one fear that I have out of that list is that my kids just won't pay attention. Like, they'll just be like, all right, Dad, so you're going to sit us down for how long and do what? Like, they'll just be so, and not disrespectful toward me, but they'll just be so, I guess, not engaged, right? And no dad wants to come off being like the lame dad and being like, all right, kids, let's sit down today and learn about XYZ, right? So we kind of, you know, so I sometimes kind of shun off on, you know, like, yeah, I really don't want to do that because I don't want to be the one that's looked at like that. But I'll tell you a thought or something I read from somewhere. It said that if your children don't learn this thing from you, you know, about, you know, money, relationships, character stuff, or whatever you want to pick from, they will learn it from someone or somewhere else. And so that was the thing that was kind of the catalyst to make me go, all right, you know, I got to stop being lazy and also stop being afraid of the other kids will think and really figure out, you know, what is some things like, for example, Heaven is 21. Chris is going on, well, he's 15 going on 16. In a couple of years, they'll be out the house. You know, what are some of the things I want to instill in them before they leave? What are some really important life lessons or just some really important skill sets that I need to give them before they're out in that real world? So, you know, since this topic is kind of an abstract topic, I'm gonna try to give y'all some good examples of things I do with the kids or around the house that just kind of pushes, again, that culture of continuous learning, okay? And this is kind of a model that I have been doing for a while that, well, this does a couple things, right? This, you know, this puts me, I guess, in their eyes, in the example of like, hey, like, I'm here, you know, as your dad, but also to be a teacher. And I also try to blend it with or empower them to like go off and learn more as well too. But here's one example. Now, everybody knows that February is Black History Month, okay? And we're a Black family. And I think one thing that Black families typically struggle with sometimes is like, how do I teach my kids about our history, Black history? You know, yes, they go to school and they learn about Rosa Parks and Dr. King, but like, what can I do more outside of the school to really help them understand like our people? And so here's what I did, okay? And I came up with this idea. I called the kids together. I said, hey, y'all, here's the thing, right? I said, every Friday in the month of February, each person, so me, my wife, Heaven, Chris, the four of us, because they're kind of older, is going to put on a Black history presentation. Now, here are the caveats and the rules, okay? The first rule is that you have to present on a fictional and non-fictional Black history topic. So basically something that's real and something that's fake, okay? Your presentation could be, so you can use any kind of media, video, audio, PowerPoint. Both presentations have to be, say, under 5 minutes, right? And then each person will have an opportunity on a Friday to present in front of everybody. And then I will present first, okay? And so let me tell you what happened, okay, during the first kind of thing, right? So I went last week. My fake Black History fact, I did a presentation on, and this was on, if you never heard, and I hope I get his name right because Heaven is going to correct me, Boosie from Baton Rouge. He has a song called Wipe Me Down. Now, if you are in my age range, and if you're African American, you will know what Wipe Me Down is, okay? That is like one of the pinnacle Black songs of my era, okay? But I did a whole presentation on why Wipe Me Down was an affirmation statement, like the actual word Wipe Me Down. Now, that is actually like a fake Black history topic, right? I just took a song that I knew that they knew and tried to make it funny and comical. But then my true Black history fact was on Dr. Charles Drew. And Dr. Charles Drew was one of the first African-American doctors that he kind of invented or pioneered the storing of blood plasma so people can get blood transfusions. And so I really threw myself into this. I did like a PowerPoint presentation for both of them, maybe like 5 slides each, found a video online, did some PowerPoint animation, and the kids loved it. Like, they were excited, they were engaged. My wife even came and told me a couple times, like, babe, that was great, that was a good job. And so what I'm hoping to achieve with this is, you know, again, right, every Friday someone will present. What I'm hoping to achieve with this is, hey, like, we're as a family going to take time out, and I will lead by example. I'm going to be the person to, you know, teach you stuff. But I also want you to go out and you to be able to teach us and present to the family. And in this model, learn about our history and learn about our culture. And now, a word from our sponsor.
Hi, my name is Chris Bodie, and I'm your host on Becoming a Great Dad podcast. I'm so excited to announce our new merchandise line called The Great Dad Society. The Great Dad Society is a signature collection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, hats, mugs, and more. And this is all made for dads. This is apparel that any father would love to have, and it makes a great gift for the dad in your life. Feel free to check it out on my site, chrisabody.com/store. That's chrisabody.com/store. Again, that's the Great Dad Society collection. Check it out today.
Oh, and one thing I left out. Well, you know what? I'll save that for a second because let me just kind of go back a little bit. Now, you probably just heard that and thought, okay, Chris, your family sounds great. Your kids sound super engaged. My kids bounce off the wall. How would I even get them to agree to do something like this and be engaged in it? Well, I used 3 tactics, and I'm going to point out what each tactic is and actually explain, like, in the last example, where the tactic is at, right? So here's the thing, right? how can you take a subject like Black history, right? The kids already get beat up over the head with it at school. But how can you really make it engaging in your household? Well, my three tactics I used this time, the first one was fun. Okay. As a dad, we have to make whatever we are teaching them fun. You know, kids relate to fun stuff. And so, you know, the fun thing for me or for them was to take a fake Black history fact. The fact that I really did a presentation and really broke down, wipe me down, they were like, this dude is crazy. Like, he really did this. But I could see them kind of chuckle and laugh at it. And to that, they weren't, they weren't laughing at me. They were laughing at the fact that, like, this dude really, like, sat down and dove into this. And I really made the fake presentation. I made that fun, you know. Now, my kids are all different age ranges, so you really got to know, like, what type of fun. If you have younger kids, right, a presentation probably won't work. But, I mean, even using video or even using, like, real world, you know, cutouts of things can be fun to them. Now, the second tactic I used was I set the expectation in two ways, right? Because I said, look, I'm going to be the first one to present. So the expectation is, here is a model from what I present. Here is the quality of the research and the information, you know, that you should be looking toward. But I also set the expectation that everyone will have their own opportunity, their own time in the spotlight to present a fake and real Black history fact. I personally think that whenever you give kids or whenever you set expectation, I think secretly, no matter what age they are, I think they actually yearn to achieve that. You know, part of that is, I think, just the internal drive of, like, hey, if your mom and dad says get an A in school, you want to make an A because you want to please your mom and dad, right? I think part of it is that. But I also think part of it is that our kids always want to show us that they can be their own people. You know, they want to show that if you give them an expectation, they can meet it and exceed it. And then the third thing, and here's the thing I didn't mention, right, on the last segment, but I also included a motivator, all right? I left this part out, but I told them that after every presentation, we're going to vote. And the person with the most votes, right, out of the four or five of us, will win a special prize, right? So if, for example, if little Chris's presentation is better than mine, or if Heaven is better than Toy is, whoever's that top dog, they're going to get a special prize. That is the motivator. Now, let me pause right here, okay? You got to know what's a motivator for your kids, all right? For some people, it could be going to McDonald's. It could be a toy. It could be, you know, going to the show. It could be a new video game they want, okay? For my kids, let me tell you what their motivator is, okay? Money, cheese, cheddar, guac, camole, okay? So if I say, hey, y'all, we're going to do something, and whoever wins gets $20, they're going to be all over, right? But here's the catch, okay? In this example, right, I actually didn't say anything about money, right? I told them that they would win a special prize. They don't know what the prize is. You see? The prize could be, you know, a fruit basket. The prize could be a Walmart gift card. The prize could be, you know, a new scarf. I literally didn't tell them what the prize was, but the fact that I included a motivator and I set the expectation of you got to beat someone else out to get this, that was enough motivation to say, well, look, like, my dad presented first, like, I'm going to show him out. Like, I actually walked in Chris's room today and he was working on, I think, his presentation, because he's going this Friday, and he was doing this kind of graphic thing and putting sound in it, because this dude wants to beat his daddy and present his facts, which is great, right? He don't know that, y'all, I secretly have not thought about what this prize is yet. I don't know if it's going to be $20 or $50, or if it's going to be a gift card to Five Below. I don't know what it's going to be. I probably better figure it out in the next 2 weeks. But I use that as an example just to show you that you can use any kind of motivator. They don't even need to know what the motivator is sometimes, right? But doing something that's fun, setting the expectation, and having a motivator based on what motivates your child. Those are the three tactics that I commonly use when I have to teach them about a subject that, you know, they may consider boring or may not be as engaging, okay? So earlier in the episode, I used the word, okay, and the key word is continuous learning, right? All right, cool, Chris. I got like a subject I want to teach my kids about, you know, but how can I keep this going? Like, how can I continuously, you know, like teach them something, right? And one of my kind of favorite words in kind of corporate America is the word sustainability. All right. How can I keep this activity sustainable so I can keep on doing learning stuff that's fun, motivating them, and setting high expectations? Well, to that, I will say you can use another tool in our toolbox, which is family meetings, right? We talked about family meetings, I think, in a past episode, but you can use that to your advantage. You know, family meetings are a great time to carve out, you know, 5 or 10 minutes of just learning time, okay? And you don't always have to be the teacher, right? You know, if your kids are comfortable enough, you can let them lead a teaching or a meeting, and they can teach you, all right? I give you an example, and, you know, I'll use Heaven and Tato, okay? So Heaven is really good, or really knows a lot about, you know, like, you know, skin care and body self-care. So a good example would be like, let's say, for example, we took 5 minutes from a family meeting and Heaven gave us a talk or a presentation or whatever on, you know, doing stuff good for your body, like drinking lemon water or, you know, certain masks to put on your face to, you know, make the skin more tight. Or, you know, here are some vitamins and supplements that the boys can take as they get older. Tato, he's young, but he knows a ton about space and dinosaurs, right? And so, you know, giving him the opportunity to teach us about, look, like here are like some facts about space that we should know. And let's say, for example, if you now, we have 2 family meetings a month, right? So we basically have, you know, one meeting bi-weekly. That's 24 meetings a year. And during each meeting, while you went over your family stuff, if you just took, you know, 5 or 10 minutes out of that meeting time, that you as a dad could teach them something. Family values, honesty, why education is important. Maybe it's art time, music time, Black history, or whatever your history is. You now have 24 specific times throughout the entire year where you as a father have actually sat down and done direct learning and you've actually taught them something. And here's the great thing about, you know, that kind of direct learning style. The more and more times you do it as a father, you're kind of reinforcing the fact that, hey, like, I'm here as a guide, as a teacher to teach you. And the more and more times your kids do it, the more and more they will be adept to pay attention to you. Now, I'm sure you're like, okay, yeah, Chris, my kids are really like, you know, after the 10th time going to listen. Let me explain something to you, okay? Let me point some out. Have you ever had your kid start school and you're like, oh my God, my kid this summer was super rambunctious. I don't know how he or she's going to be. Your kid is like, I don't want him back to school. I hate him back to school. Right? And then, you know, some months pass by and you go to a PCO meeting and the teacher's like, oh, Johnny is the best kid in class. He's so helpful. And you're like, wait, my kid? My kid is being super helpful and cleaning up. He don't even clean his own. Okay, you mean Johnny Bodie, right? I'm just trying to make sure this is my child, right? Why does that happen, right? Why do our kids go off to school and like they become these super attentive and attention-paying children? Well, it's the same concept, right? The teacher is reinforcing this model that he or she is there to instruct. And whether your kids will admit it or not, they crave structure. They crave attention and they crave positive reinforcement. And that's what your teacher in turn gives them. And so when they get those things, they want to in turn become a better student. Now, you look at that vision and you take teacher out of that and you put yourself as a dad in that. So that's what can happen inside your home. So our action item. So how do we actually put this into effect? How do we, you know, do this? You know, this is one of those things where you got to just get up and do. You know, you got to get off the pot. You know the statement. But you got to just try it out. Pick something that you want to teach your kids about. And just keep in mind, right? The more boring the item, the more you're going to have to turn up the fun and the motivator dial. And you can use a separate time for that. Or use family meeting time when everyone is there already. Now, I'm going to talk about an example. And I think I may have talked about this previously, may not. But here's a perfect example of this action item, right? One of the things that I really wanted to instill, and this is in the two older kids, Heaven and Chris, because they're older, I really wanted to instill financial literacy and finances and money and how we work and save and invest our money. And, you know, that to a, you know, a 20-year-old and a 15-year-old is, you know, I mean, okay, finances and interest rates and, you know, I mean, that's not the funnest or engaging topic, right? But here's what I did, right? I really poured myself into giving them a half-day financial literacy class, right? And a friend of mine, his daughter as well, came to the house. Now, this was a four-hour class. And what I did was in the morning time, well, he brought them donuts, right? And I had like 10 different topics to cover, like how to budget, how to make multiple streams of income, about investing in stocks and debt reduction and credit cards. And I mean, just the gambit of financial literacy, right? For each of the kids, I created a fake budget and a fake job on how much they would make in the future. And so basically throughout the four-hour class, they took this fake information and they used it not only to budget for their household in this kind of fictitious way, but they also used it, you know, to learn how to pay down their debt, how to save, how to use disposable income, to save for a house, buy a car, take vacation. And knowing that that was a subject that I was going to have to keep again, right? I think Heaven at the time was 20 or 21, Chris was 14. I had to keep these two kids and also my friend's daughter, she was, what, like 15, 16, engaged for 4 hours, all right? When I tell you I turned up the fun dial and the motivator dial to 10, and here's what happened. Not only did they pay attention. Not only was it something that they were fully engaged with, but even after the class happened. Now, the motivator part was that at the end of the class, I gave them a 10-question quiz. And then once they passed the quiz, I already had printed out certificates with their names on them, signed by me and Toya, of how they passed financial class. And they were ecstatic just to get that certificate. But even after the class, my oldest daughter, Heaven, she now functions and does things with money in a different way. And she even has shown me how she has made her own budget tracking sheet. Chris is 15. Chris is now diving more into investing in stocks. He actually has Cash App. I didn't even know this, but you can buy stocks through Cash App at 15. So, you know, that literally blows my mind that my kids are doing this. I think back to if I, at their age, had this kind of direct learning. I mean, at 15, 16, to know about investing in stocks, to be thinking about budgeting, and to be looking at credit in this different way that I wasn't taught. Man, just how far advanced financially they're going to be over time, right? So, you know, that's a real world example that happened in my house. And that is something that if you try these tactics and if you try this direct learning, you know, that can also be the fruit of your labor with your kids. All right, y'all. So another podcast in the books. I'm happy I got this off my chest. I always kind of blank on topics to talk about with the podcast. And so kind of at the ninth hour, I'm like, oh my God, I have a great idea. I really hope y'all got something out of today's episode. And by the way, let me just mention that that same class that I talked about, that financial class, I actually took that class because people asked about it. And I made that class an online course that you can take. You can take it. Your kids can take it. This course is actually, it's from 12 years old to 99 years old. But I have this course on udemy.com. I'm going to put a link to the course in the podcast description. I'm going to also link this on my website on chrisabody.com. But if you follow me on Instagram and Twitter, and if you want to get the link to the course, please feel free to let me know. So Bina, my youngest daughter. Hey, B. Come on, baby. She just got it from her nap. And she just came in the closet where I record. And so that is a perfect time for me to do my outro. You want to say hey to everybody, Bina? Say hey. No. Like, say hello because it's on audio. Say hi. So that's Bina. She just got it from a nap. She's saying hello. So that means podcasting time is over and I gotta go back, put on my daddy hat. We're gonna go watch some Mulan on Disney Plus. So until next time, y'all be safe.